Hello and welcome back to the program that helps you learn American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today we have two stories for you. The first takes us back to World War I, then some information about some places in the world where it is not safe to be a reporter. Two interesting items that will tell you about things happening in our world and help you learn to speak English like an American. Friday, Turkey marks the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Gallipoli in World War I. The battle was a major military campaign. The Ottoman Turks defeated a British-led invasion, but later lost the war. Also on Friday, Armenians around the world will mark 100 years since the killings of large numbers of Armenians by the Ottomans. Armenians use the word genocide to describe the killings. But Turkey argues that the number of deaths is overstated, and it says those who were killed died during a civil war. The events of a century ago are captured in the story of a Turkish-Armenian army officer. The publication of his recollections of the Battle of Gallipoli has fueled debate in Turkey. The officer was named Sarkis Torosyan. His story explores many subjects considered taboo or largely ignored in Ottoman history. In other words, Turks refuse to talk about them today. In the early 20th century, Captain Torosyan was recognized for his work in the army of the Ottoman Empire. Yet his mother and sisters died when the Ottoman government forced large numbers of Armenians from their homes. Armenians and others have used the word genocide to describe this mass expulsion. But the Turkish government strongly rejects this description. Ayhan Akhtar is a professor at Bilgi University in Istanbul. He says the most troubling part of Captain Torosyan's story is that he fought at the Battle of Gallipoli. He says the story disputes Turkey's official version of events, which says only Turks fought at Gallipoli. He notes it is also in conflict with the latest Islamic explanation of the battle.
When you form a Turkish republic based upon ethnic nationalism, then you try to rewrite history. In the last 15 years, a kind of a Islamic narrative started. They started to talk about kind of saints are coming from the sky and protecting the glorious Islamic army against the infidel. You know, in both narratives, in the Turkish narrative, in the Islamic narrative, poor Captain Torosyan is a persona non grata. He doesn't have any place. He's not a Turk to take place in the Turkish narrative, and he's not a Muslim, he's a Christian, and therefore he doesn't fit to the Islamic narrative.
Professor Akhtar says publishers were persuaded to produce the book in Turkey because of the importance of Captain Torosyan's story. He says he knew the memoirs would create a debate, but he says he was surprised when Turkish nationalists, Islamists, and even the army joined to attack it.
I wasn't expecting such a debate. I wasn't expecting such a fury. They told me that I was naive. I was cheated by the text, and they tried to discredit the book.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has admitted the truth of the story. Mr. Erdogan made note of it in a message to Armenian President Serge Sarkisian. Mr. Erdogan wanted to persuade the Armenian leader to attend the Gallipoli anniversary observances, but the offer was refused. Professor Akhtar says the debate over the book has created a worrying atmosphere for Turkey's small Armenian minority.
This upsurge of nationalism against an Armenian officer who fought in the army created a kind of an uneasy feeling in an ordinary Turkish-Armenian citizen still having the, you know, trauma of genocide. And I never forgive this.
He says the book has opened the way for other recollections of Armenian officers who fought at Gallipoli to become known.
This debate on Captain Tarosyan initiated another upsurge of research about who were these officers in the Ottoman army. Actually, I'm very proud of it. While we are commemorating a battle, a resistance, or heroism, we should never forget the ones who were fighting with us. This is very important, and we should pay respect.
Many Turks question the involvement and even the presence of Armenian officers in the Ottoman army at the Battle of Gallipoli. But observers say the debate about the book and the publishing of similar stories mean another historical taboo has been tested and is now being discussed. You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. The Committee to Protect Journalists has released a list of the top 10 countries where reporters are the most severely limited. Eritrea and North Korea are at the top of the list. The eight others are China, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Ethiopia, Azerbaijan, Vietnam, Burma, and Cuba. The committee says officials in the 10 countries harass, interfere with, and imprison journalists in an effort to restrict their reporting. It says the officials also limit use of the Internet to keep journalists quiet. Christopher Jones-Cruz has details.
The Committee to Protect Journalists says 44 journalists are imprisoned in China, more than in any other country. And it says the government in Iran detains many people, often for no reason, to silence its opponents or force them to leave the country. Courtney Ratch is the advocacy director of the committee. She says 200 journalists were jailed worldwide over the past 12 months. She adds that many more were forced to leave their home country.
The past 3 years have been the most dangerous on record for journalists, with record numbers of killings, of imprisonment, and based on CPJ's assistance data, more than 400 journalists who have been forced into exile over the past 5 years.
Internet restrictions are an important weapon for government officials who want to silence their critics. In North Korea, only politically powerful people can use the Internet. In Cuba, bloggers have to use computers at embassies or hotels to keep information on their blogs current. China has 642 million Internet users. They face what critics call the Great Firewall. Courtney Ratch says China blocks social media websites and sites that criticize the Chinese government.
Censorship is a very powerful tool. I mean, it does restrict information flows. In order to bypass censorship, you often have to have highly technical skills, what tools to use, what techniques, and also how to keep their sources safe, how to keep their broader profiles safe.
The Arab Spring movement led to new restrictions in Eritrea. The Committee to Protect Journalists says the government canceled plans to provide mobile or wireless